Hi, you're listening to a podcast from Frontline Youth Summer Camp 2026 with guest speaker, Pastor Nick Devencentis. We hope it blesses you and we hope to see you soon.
Hello. Old school style on the floor without the beanbags. How are we doing, Frontline? Everyone's just rehydrating. Everyone's just chugging down the water. I brought my two girls into their first Frontline, the first of many Frontline summer camp nights, and they were a little bit shocked. They were dehydrated, they nearly fainted, and they're like, on the way down, like, oh, so hot in there. How do all those teenagers do it for so long? They're like, Maddie was going nuts. Where's Maddie? Yeah, they're looking at you going, she was going nuts. And I just, you know what? I love that my kids could witness such passion for Jesus from you guys. How cool. You know that you are an example even when you don't think you're being an example? Do you know that? How cool. I'm just going to wait for everyone to get their things, get a seat and get comfy. Oh, let's do that later. So, who's had a good day? Yes, yes. Who's feeling tired after a big Tribal Wars effort? Yes. Is Tribal Wars still going? Are their points still up for grabs? Do you think I can allocate some points? All right. I want to know, without looking in your notebooks, who remembers my last three sermon titles? Come up here. He's thinking. What team are you for? White. Oh, the pressure's on. Don't help him. First night, Friday night, what was it?
Can I go in reverse order?
Yes, you can.
Okay, so this morning was Heaven in Me.
Yes.
Yesterday morning was Don't Look Down.
Yes, two out of three.
And the first evening was, I've got it.
I'll give you a hint. Heaven was in the title.
It's not Heart Like Heaven. It's, I'm so sorry.
Two out of three ain't bad. I'm going to give you 20 points for that. Can I do that? Yeah. Who gets all three?
Heaven in Me, Don't Look Down, and
Friday night
was Heaven in Me.
Heaven was in me was this morning. Friday night was...
Oh, I don't know.
Who knows? Yes. Oh, Ellie. Did you look in your notes? What team are you for? White.
Okay. Number one is Are You Ready for Heaven?
Yes.
Okay. And then it was Don't Look Down.
Yes.
And then Heaven in Me.
Yes, Ellie for the win. So, white team. I'm still going to give 20 points. Was a black team? Oh, white team. And what colour? Black. Let's give 20 to black as well because that's a good effort. Yes, yes. Well done. So that's if you knew, and I think there's like a couple of new people here, Olivia and Katie, like newbies. Anyone else like joined us today? Are they here or have they left again? Are they here? Give us a wave. Oh, there they are. Welcome if you're new. To Frontline, and we're so grateful that you're here. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to get into things. And I believe that God is going to have more for us, and God is already moving, and he's already doing stuff, but tonight is the last night, and anything goes on the last night of camp. So Father, we just commit this time to you. Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to praise you and worship you. And Father, I just cannot do this without you. And so I need your Holy Spirit to empower me and give me the words to speak to your people. But Father, let your children tonight, let your sons and your daughters encounter heaven. Let them hear you. Let them receive a touch from you. Speak to them in a powerful and personal way. And we just commit this night and we pray it would be for your glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Okay, so tonight, to cap off, I mean, there's obviously tomorrow for camp as well. You guys have got workshops. But tonight, for my last message, it is called Being on Mission for Heaven, or Heaven's Mission. I can't remember, but it'll come up on the screen. And I want to talk about what it means to be on Heaven's mission. You can, like, come down, Ezra, if you want. You're just going to stay up there the whole night. Okay, great. Whenever. You stay up there. Give Ezra a hand. He's awesome. So if heaven is in us, right, then we are carriers of heaven. And every single one of us is on mission for heaven, because heaven lives in us. And a mission, right, if you think about what a mission is a very important assignment to go out and spread, in our case, the good news of Jesus. And if you're going to go on any kind of mission, and you think about even like a space mission, or if, you know, like obviously we go on mission trips if we're in churches, or if you're Tom Cruise and you're doing Mission Impossible, you think about those kind of missions, right? Because we've all been in Tom Cruise situations. You are pursuing a goal that is bigger than yourself, right? You're pursuing a goal with dedication, and you're driven with a sense of belief and duty. And so in our resurrection life, as believers and followers of Jesus, we are called to be on mission for heaven. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ and to go out there and spread the good news of Him. And so I want to talk about three things, and I actually don't want to speak for long tonight because I think that God wants to move in lots of different areas. But I want to quickly talk about three things that we need if we're going to have heaven in us. How can we take heaven out there? How can we be on mission for heaven? It's the first thing that we need is a focus on eternity. Because heaven, right, is a representation of eternity. Eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever. And I could just keep saying forever, right? Forever, you get it. It's forever. There's no end. And if you know that you're going to heaven, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. That is good news, right? Someone give me an amen. If you know you're going to heaven, that is good news. But let me ask you, how much do you think about the eternal destination of your friends and of your family and of the people that you maybe go to work with or that you play sport with? How much do you think about the eternal destination of people in your world that don't know Jesus? Probably not enough. I mean, do you think about it like a few times a year? Do you think about it like once a year at camp? Or do you think about it constantly and regularly? Is it a top priority? Because the thing is, if we're going to be on mission for heaven, it actually should be a passion of ours. It actually should be a priority that we think about, and we're excited to bring the good news and think about the eternity of where our friends and where our loved ones are going. Because heaven is a place that God wants filled. Did you know that? Like, the mission of heaven is this: let's get as many in here as we can. Let's just fill this place right on up. Like, let's not leave any room up here. Heaven has a mission that is like, let's just bring them in. We want them in. God wants heaven full. And again, if we know that we're going there, that is great news. But we are heaven's representatives, and we play a crucial role in actually talking about eternity and thinking about eternity in regards to the people in our world, taking that message of Christ. And, you know, I was thinking this afternoon, I was preparing, you guys are in a really special time in your lives. And I became a Christian when I was in year 12, I was 17. And so when I went to uni the next year, that was very much like I was on mission, because I just encountered Jesus in a radical way. And I just wanted to tell everyone about Him. And I remember being at uni and being at parties and inviting people to church. And I'm like, come with me. And I used to bring them to youth, even though we were out of high school. I don't know, it was a bit different back then. I was a leader. I just used to bring randoms along. And it was just, I was so excited. And not that as an adult, obviously, you know, I'm an older adult, we don't have opportunity. But there's something really special about being at school and even heading into uni, because people are open. Like, and I just want to encourage you guys, don't miss the opportunity that God has you right now. Like, you are young, but you guys have a mission field. And I don't care if you go to Oxley, I don't care if you go to a Christian school, there is a mission field everywhere you go. And so just take the moments and the opportunities you have, because this time in your life, man, people are searching. And I've got this, my last visual, which is a little bit sad, and I might need a leader to help me with this because I'm not that strong a person. Oh, thank you, Matt. Everyone give Matt a hand. What a superstar. Now, I need the end with the tape on it. Is there an end? Yes, thank you. My husband did that for me before. So, I don't know, maybe some of you have seen this analogy before. This is a long rope, and it's obviously like too long for this stage. But imagine this rope, and just put it out as much as you can. Imagine this rope represents our timeline, right? And it just goes on, like there is no end. Like this is the start, right? I've got the start, but there's no end. And it just goes on and on and on. Because really, if we're going like to heaven, it's forever and ever and ever and ever. And so imagine this rope represents our time. This blue bit here, and it's probably not that easy to see because the rope is blue, but there's a bit here that I've taped. Yeah, you're remembering? Yeah, you just got it. And this blue bit here represents our time on Earth, right? Blue for Earth, right? This is Earth. This is the years. I'm born here and I die here. And let's say I live to 100. That's my time on Earth. This is eternity. And that's this perspective. When we've got to focus on eternity, this is the perspective that we need to have. And it's so easy to get consumed and focused and caught up in this little blue section, right? But what about the rest? Because this is like a lot bigger and a lot longer. And I just want to get our perspectives to be a little higher, right? We're talking about heaven. And so I want us to have a higher perspective tonight to realize that our time on earth, although it feels long, it's actually really short in the scheme of things. It's actually a few short years in the scheme of eternity. And so I want to ask you, whose mission are you living for? Are you living for the mission that is like earth related, or are you living for heaven's mission and for eternity? And I get why it's easy to get caught up with the earth. I get it. Like we live here. There's lots going on. It's bright, shiny, it's loud. Lots happening. It's fun stuff. There's cool stuff. And so I get why we get consumed by it. But it doesn't make much sense if we're on mission for heaven that we're not thinking about all of this, does it? Like we've got to get our perspective right. And so I was thinking about in Acts, right? I was thinking about the disciples and I was thinking about how when they were with Jesus, they kind of didn't really get it, right? They're still learning and, you know, they sort of made mistakes and whatever. They're just learning as they went. But then when Jesus died and they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then in Acts, Jesus was up in heaven and they were on their own, they got it. They're like, we know why we're here. We know our goal. And our goal as disciples of Jesus is to go and spread the message about Jesus everywhere we go. And you read about the apostles and disciples in Acts, they are so on fire. They know that they're on mission. They know their mission is to take everything that Jesus taught them while he was on earth with them and to tell everyone. And it's really amazing. But as much as they were fired up, as much as they were just sold out, it was hard for them. Like you read about their lives, they ain't comfortable lives. And there's this passage, and I don't have it on the screen, but I'll give you the reference and you can read it later. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24, Paul gives us this little summary of what he experienced in his life being on mission for Jesus. And he says this, he says, I've been stoned, I've been shipwrecked, I've constantly been on the move. Like they didn't have houses. They just went from town to town to region to region. They didn't know where their next meal was coming from. Like they didn't have their families with them. They left their families. They left their homes. He says, I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from everyone, robbers, Gentiles, a river. Obviously it was white water rafting kind of rivers. He's gone without sleep. He's gone without food. He said, I've been cold and I've been naked. And so he tells us what it's like being on mission. Why would he go through all of that willingly? Because no one was forcing him. Why would Paul go through all of that? Do you think it's because he realized that his time here on earth, this blue part, affected eternity? I think that's why. I think he realized that his time on earth was so short that, yes, he went through all of that, but in the scheme of things, he knew that he was going to be in heaven with Jesus, where it was going to be perfect and it was going to be awesome. There was going to be no pain and no sin, and he could just worship God. And he's like, you know what? I'm here on earth and I'm here for a mission and I'm focused on eternity, because he knew that his actions not just affected this bit for him, but it affected this bit for everyone that he came in contact with. And everyone he came in contact with, and all the disciples and the apostles, they understood that their actions affected the eternity and the lives of everyone. And what they did, we mentioned a couple of times a scripture about storing up treasures in heaven. This is what it means to store up treasures in heaven. Is that on earth, while you live in this tiny blue bit, you are doing everything to store up treasures for eternity. Is that cool? And that's what Paul did. And so Frontline, we live in a culture where everyone lives for the blue part. Everyone is consumed with and obsessed with making it comfortable and making it good and making it fun and just the blue part. I'm just living for, like, the blue part, right? They don't say the blue part, but that's what it is. And it's a crazy deception that the enemy has over people, that this is all that matters. And so we've got to be so careful that we don't get caught in that trap, that we don't get fooled. And so that we understand and be awake and alert and serious and focused on eternity, not for our sakes, just but for the sakes of our friends and our family who need to know how much God loves them. So whose mission are you living for? Are you living for earth and just the temporary pleasures that this world gives? Or are we living for eternity? If we believe that heaven is real, and I hope that you do believe that heaven is real by now, if we believe that God is up in heaven and Jesus is with him, then our lives should match that belief. When our focus is on eternity, and Matt said it before, when Jesus is at the center, when our focus is on eternity, all the other stuff fades away. And all of a sudden, we get priorities in life that are in line with God. We get priorities in life that please God. We get priorities like, I need to tell my friends about Jesus. We get priorities like, I need to fulfill the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples of them. And so when we start to get a perspective on eternity, we start to then go, you know what? I'm actually not going to wait to talk to my friend about God. I'm actually going to do it now, because their eternity is at stake. And so let's get a heart like heaven, and let's get a passion and a desire to see the people that we know need to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. You are heaven's representative. You are on mission from heaven. The second thing that we need is we need to focus on eternity, but then we need to speak up for truth. So Matthew 10:27, I think I've got this on the screen. This is Jesus to his disciples, and he says this: what I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear me whispered, proclaim on the housetops. Now let me give you a bit of context for this. So this is Jesus giving a pep talk to the disciples, and he's sending them out two by two. He did this sort of to give them like a practice run right before he went to heaven. He was actually going to leave them on their own. But he gives them this little mission. He sends the disciples out two by two into all the regions, and he's like, go heal the sick, preach the good news, cast out demons. And he gives them this like big instruction. And I encourage you, read that chapter 10, I think it was, Matthew chapter 10. It is awesome. It is such a good encouragement for us as disciples as we go out on mission. And he says this to his disciples. And what that basically means when he says, what I say to you in the dark, he's saying, what I've said to you privately, like the conversations that we've had one-on-one, I actually want you to tell other people about. He says, what I've whispered to you, what I've explained to you, I want you to get on the rooftops and tell everyone. And that message basically is open your mouths. He's saying to the disciples, open your mouths and speak the truth that I have given you. That's the message that he's giving them. And what this means for us, Frontline, is kind of very similar. Everything that you've heard from God at camp, everything in these sessions, everything in the worship, everything in the prayer time, everything that God has been giving to you as you've reflected and as you've spent time with him, everything that has been prayed for you as you've talked about in your little small groups and even at night time with your friends, all of that stuff that God's been giving to you and speaking to you, you need to share it. Like, you need to speak it out and share the truth that you have received and tell people about it. That's what it means. We need to proclaim it. We need to get loud. We need to get public. And we need to speak the truth. And you know, the word proclaim means to announce a message publicly with conviction. Everyone say conviction. Conviction. I've said this word a couple of times. And basically what that word means is it means like to speak and to persuade someone. If you're speaking with conviction, it means you believe it. It means you're excited by it. It means you're passionate about it. And can I tell you, Frontline, you know how to speak with conviction. Because I've heard you. I've heard you in tribal wars, like red team and white team, and we earn those points. And you guys know how to speak with conviction. You get passionate about not just tribal wars, but other stuff. And so we are familiar with speaking with conviction because there's lots of stuff that we believe in and that we're passionate about. But are we passionate about Jesus as much as we're passionate about the other stuff that we have conviction about? Because we need to have conviction about Jesus and about his truth, right? And so what does that mean? It means that when you get back from summer camp and your friend says to you, oh, what you been doing? You don't say, oh, it's just at a camp. That was all right. Just played some games. Heard this weird lady, talked a lot. It's all right, I guess. Yeah, whatever. Yep. That's not conviction. You know what conviction sounds like? Hey, what'd you get up to in the school holidays? Oh my gosh, I went to Frontline Summer Camp. It was amazing. Do you know why? Because I encountered God. And I actually had revelation that God loves me and that he died for me and that I can find forgiveness and freedom. And I actually, like, God loves me and he did a work in my life and I heard him. And man, if he does it for me, then he can do it for you. Why don't you come with me to youth on Friday night? Come and experience yourself, man. Like, that's conviction. I know that we might not say those exact words. I'm not very cool and I'm not hip with what the language is and whatever. But you know what I mean. You can like tell your friends where you've been and what you've done. You don't have to be shy about it. You don't have to be embarrassed about it. You don't have to like make excuses for it. You can say it with boldness and with courage and like you believe it. People need to hear the truth. You know, Jesus was asking his 12 disciples when he sent them out to speak with conviction, and he's asking you as disciples to speak with conviction when people talk to you. And then in verse 19 and 20, so a little bit before this, he warns the disciples about some of the dangers that are going to happen, right? So he's giving them like a snapshot of what they might experience. And he says, you know, you'll probably be arrested and you'll probably be taken to the temple courts and, you know, you'll probably be flogged. Can you imagine, like, you're going out on mission and Jesus is telling you this is what you can encounter? Whoa, like, full on. But then listen to this. He says this in verse 19 and 20. He says, do not worry what to say or how to say it. So he's talking about when they get arrested. So when you get arrested, when you get taken to the temple courts, don't worry about what to say. At that time, you'll be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. This is the advice and the encouragement that Jesus gives to the disciples as they go out on mission. And some of you, and you know, I have been there before, and sometimes I'm still like this. Some of us have been resistant and afraid to share and speak the truth about Jesus. And it's not that we haven't wanted to. It's not that you haven't wanted to. You have. You've been like, oh, I want to tell that person about God and I want to tell them what I did at camp and I want to, but I don't want to stuff it up. I don't want to get it wrong, God. I don't know everything. And what if they ask me a question? I don't know the answer. And I just don't want to, I don't want to muck it up. Well, Frontline, Jesus is saying this to you right now, tonight. He's saying, do not worry about what to say or how to say it, because I will speak through you. Jesus is saying, when you just open up your mouth, you need to step out in faith and I'm going to put the words in there because my Spirit lives inside of you, because I'm not going to leave you out to dry. If you're going to lay your life down for me, if you're going to speak out and speak my truth, if you're surrendered to me, if you're going to live like heaven's representatives and be on missions, I'm going to give you the words to say. Have faith and believe that the Spirit in me is going to speak through you. And we need to step out in faith sometimes, and it's scary. But Jesus is telling his disciples, don't worry about what to say. I will give you the words. And so some of you need to have faith that God is going to give you the words to say when you speak out. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. And you're like, what? I'm not a preacher. Are you telling me I've got to go out and preach? I like get nervous raising my hand in small group time. Well, what's interesting is that word preach translated actually means this. It means to publish or proclaim openly. And so when Paul is telling Timothy this, to preach the word, he's not meaning get a microphone and get a pulpit and find a group of people and stand there and share a sermon. Like that kind of thing didn't actually exist back then. They didn't do church back then like we do now. So preaching like this kind of style, that's not what he's talking about. Anytime someone opened up their mouth and proclaimed God's word, that was considered preaching. And so if that's the definition of preaching, then every single Christian and disciple is called to do that. It doesn't matter what your gifts are or what your talents are or whether you get a little bit nervous or shy. It doesn't have to be in front of a big group of people. It just means that you're willing to actually open up your mouth and share about God. And it says that we've got to do it in season and out of season. That means we've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready. Remember on Friday night, we're going to be ready for heaven. We have to be ready to speak about God. We actually have to pray when we start the day and be like, you know what, God, if there's someone today that needs me to say something to them and I need to share a bit of faith or encouragement, like help give me the words, like prepare me now. We need to prepare ourselves for that, whether we're on fire for God or whether we're actually like having a really average kind of day. We need to be ready when we've come back from youth camp and when we're like in the middle of like recess. We need to be ready when we've got all our Christian friends around us and we can bounce off each other. And we also need to be ready when we're on our own and we don't have each other. We need to be ready in season and out of season. And, you know, I talked on Friday about storing up treasures. How we got to store up treasures. We got to store up those treasures so that when we're in those moments, we can like, oh, yeah, there's some treasure. I'm going to give that out. Like, we got to store this stuff up in our heart, right? So we got to be ready. Now, I'm just going to change tactic. And I was, it's all right. It's the Holy Spirit just making sure we're paying attention. Everyone's all right? So who's got a Spotify account? Lots of people, I don't know, Spotify or Apple Music, which is more popular? Yes, me too. Okay, yeah, I'm in the majority. So we have a shared Spotify. We're too stingy to pay for multiple family ones. So we actually only have a one user one. And so we have to all share it in our family. And there are three main playlists on our Spotify account. And the first like main playlist is worship. We listen to a lot of worship music in our house and in the car. And we've been listening to like the Frontline. Aaron, that's my husband, by the way, on the drums. And so he's been listening to all of the drum songs over and over. And he's been rocking it, hasn't he? Yeah? Yep. And so we listen to a lot of worship music. And then the second type of playlist is called Beast Mode. Who is familiar with Beast Mode on Spotify? Okay, Rowan, you should be. Do you know why? Because you go to the gym with my husband and Aaron listens to Beast Mode. Are you familiar with it, Maddie? Okay, so I don't know what Beast Mode is, but apparently it's hardcore music that you listen to while you're pumping iron, doing leg curls. I don't know. At the same time. And it like pumps you up. Is that the vibe of Beast Mode? I imagine as, I don't know what happens in the gym. I don't go to the gym, obviously, but Aaron does, and he sees Rowan there. They do workouts, but Rowan doesn't listen to Beast Mode. Maybe you should listen to Beast Mode next time you're there with Aaron. Maybe that's his secret, Beast Mode. Anyway, and so there's a third type of playlist. So we got worship, we got Beast Mode, and then we got Forrest Frank. All right? Any other Forrest fans in the house? Yeah, so me and my girls love Forrest Frank. We listen to him in the car on the way to school. And what often happens is when you're sharing Spotify is that, you know, someone will be listening to Beast Mode in the gym. Ooh. And then Forrest comes on. Oh, Lord, I need you now more than ever. And Aaron's like pumping iron. He's like, what's Forrest doing in my ear? I don't want to listen to him. And so I don't know why I'm telling that story. I think to get to Forrest Frank. Anyway, and so there was a point to this story, I think. Yes, this is it. So back to Forrest. Forrest Frank, and I don't know if you guys obviously have followed him, and he had a pretty big year last year, right? And he, you know, broke his back and God healed him and he wrote some songs, really cool ones. But then what happened is Charlie Kirk died. Do you guys know the deal with that? Yes. And you know that that Forrest made a pretty bold statement on Insta. Does everyone know about that? Okay, let me tell you. So I'm up with the times. And so just to backtrack, Charlie Kirk was a man. If you want to know someone who spoke the truth, he was a man who went into universities and he spoke God's truth loudly. And he proclaimed the word of God and the truth of God in a really in an environment that was really anti-God. And so he was killed, and Forrest Frank put up a post, and he basically said that Jesus Christ is Lord and Jesus is the only way to God. And Forrest Frank made that post, and do you know what happened after? He lost 30,000 followers, like pretty much overnight, for that post. Because people didn't like the truth that he proclaimed. Because here's the thing, the truth of God can be uncomfortable. And the truth of God can make people feel like, oh my gosh, that's like making me think about my life. That's maybe making me think about my eternity. And people don't like to think about that. And so he lost all these followers. But what Forrest did afterwards, I loved the post that he made to begin with, but the response that he made afterwards was even more impressive. And I've got it on the screen because this was his response to the haters. And he said this. He said, 30,000K unfollowed me. Good. I don't care if you follow me, but I do care if you follow Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of all Lords. He's coming back real soon, and so if you haven't got your heart right with him and dropped down to your knees and repented to him, today is the day and the hour is at hand because Jesus Christ loves you. That was his response to the 30,000 people that unfollowed him because he said Jesus Christ is Lord. That is what it means to speak the truth with conviction. You don't care if people like what you say. You don't care if people give you a dirty look. You don't care if people unfollow you. You're going to speak the truth with conviction because you believe it. And if they think you're weird, so be it. That's the kind of conviction that we need to speak about. That's the kind of conviction that we need to share the truth of Jesus. To not be ashamed and not to be worried, but to use the platforms that we have and the opportunities that God has given us. The third thing that we need if we're going to be on mission for heaven is a courageous spirit. A courageous spirit. If you're serious about being part of heaven's mission, you're going to need courage. You're going to need courage if you're going to open up your mouth and share the truth. You need courage if you want to live not for yourself. It's easy to live for yourself in the blue part. It takes courage to live for eternity. You need courage to speak out when other people are being silent. Godly courage means acting in faith. Means acting in obedience to God's calling, even when you're afraid. It's not the absence of fear, but it's the willingness to do the right thing, even when you're afraid, because you know that God is with you. Because you know that even though if the outcome isn't what you think it's going to be, God is with you. And you know, courage is a command. Joshua 1:9, you've heard this before. God said, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And so courage is a command from God, but there's also a promise in there. And it's a really important promise, because if we're going to have courage, we need to know and we need to believe that God will be with us wherever we go. We take God's Spirit where we go, right? Jesus is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. Heaven is in us. And so wherever we go, even if it's scary, even if it's unfamiliar, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it makes us unpopular, God is with us. And courage is going, despite all those feelings that we have, knowing that God is with me. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. God is on our side. The Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of the universe, goes with me. But unfortunately, courage is something that I think Christians have lost a bit. There are so many followers of Jesus that have become weak-souled, that their soul is weak. And so that any time they say or do anything for Jesus and someone's like, oh, it's a bit weird, or they get a dirty look, or they get an eye roll, or they get an unfollow, or they get a bad comment, they're like, oh, oh, okay, don't worry about it. And it's like we live for people's approval and acceptance. We feel so crushed when they say anything about us that we abandon that conviction because we don't want to be on the outer. We don't want to be unpopular. Remember this morning I talked about our identity. Do you remember our identity is that we are holy, and to be holy means to be set apart? And sometimes being set apart means we're going to be a bit weird sometimes. Do you know that it's okay to be a bit weird? We need to be okay with being a bit weird. I remember when I became a Christian and my family weren't Christians and they're still not. And I talked to them a lot about Jesus, a lot when I was living at home. And my sister started calling me a Jesus freak. And she called, like in her phone, I'm still called, like 25 years later, Jesus freak. Because she thinks I'm so weird that I don't talk about it as much now in her face because we don't live together anymore. But back then she was like, you're a freak. All you talk about is Jesus. So that was my nickname, Jesus freak. I thought that was a cool nickname. I liked it. It is a cool nickname. In fact, I wish she called it me now more. But the point is we need to be okay with being a bit weird and being a bit different. Do you know the Bible says that we're like aliens? We're aliens here. Do you know that? Because we're citizens of heaven, but we're living down here. And so we're going to be okay with being a bit weird. We need to start to realize that a smile from Jesus is worth like 10,000 frowns from others. I want to live for a smile from Jesus. I want to live for a well done, good and faithful servant from God. And Paul knew this, and I'm getting to the end, and this is my last passage. So the Apostle Paul, he says this in 1 Corinthians 4:12, because he understood that people are going to think we're weird, but more than that. He says, when we're cursed, we bless. When we're persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. And it sounds like he's wearing like the spiritual clothes he was talking about in Colossians there. He says, we have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of this world right up until this moment. Let's just not pass over what Paul is saying here. He is saying that he's talking about him, he's talking about his apostles. They've become the scum of the earth. See, Paul and his apostle friends, they've been on mission, right? They're going out, they're preaching, they're being thrown in prison, they're like being flogged, they're being shipwrecked, they're being all sorts of things. So they're on mission, right? And they understand that that makes them a bit of an outcast. That makes them a bit weird. That makes them be treated like scum. Like garbage. Now that takes courage. To be aware that people are going to treat you like that and lean into it. Now, times are different for us, thank goodness, that we actually don't get the risk of being thrown in prison and being stoned. But do you know what scum is? Who's been on pack-up duty? Yeah, is it a bit unfair sometimes, like not on setup, like... And the pack-up people feel a bit jibbed? Yeah, like, let's just be honest. Do you know what scum is? You know all the food scraps that people scrape off in the bin? That's scum. When Paul says that we are the scum of the earth, that's how people viewed him and the other apostles. Man, that's hardcore. And they live that life. Now that is courage. That is the courage that I want. That is the kind of courage that inspires me and that I admire. And Paul was okay with it. He was okay with it. What a dude. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not that courageous. You know what? Sometimes I don't feel that courageous. Maybe you're thinking, I want some of that courage. Maybe you're thinking, I'm a bit weak when it comes to this stuff. I wish I could say what Forrest Frank said on Instagram. We all feel like that at times, but I got good news for you guys. I got good news because a courageous spirit comes from the Holy Spirit. And when we look at Jesus and we look at Jesus' life on earth, Jesus could only do what he did on earth because he had the power of the Holy Spirit upon him. And right before, so Jesus was baptized and then he went into the wilderness. And then after he came out of the wilderness, he said he was, it's in Luke chapter 3 and then in Luke in chapter 4. And it says that Jesus, full of power in the Spirit, came out. And then he reads the scroll And it says that, and he says, I am anointed. And he goes on, and we heard the scripture from Isaiah 61 about, I'm anointed. The Spirit of the Lord has come upon me to preach good news, to preach the good news to the poor. And so Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was empowered to live the life that he led, to stand up to Pharisees, to stand up to all of the people that went against him, to stand up to mockery. He stood up for truth. He laid his life down and died on a cross. Can you imagine the courage that took our Lord and Savior? But the Holy Spirit empowered him to do it. And Frontline, the Holy Spirit is going to empower you, because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells within us. Do you believe that? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells inside of you. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Because I tell you what, if you believe that the same Spirit that was in Jesus lives in you, then you will be courageous, my friend. And we need to remember that the Spirit of God lives in us. And if we need courage, we just need to get on our knees and say, God, give me courage. God, fill me afresh, because I need your courage, because I want to be on mission for heaven. And I want to go out and preach. And I want to go out and speak the truth. And I want to go out and see my friends saved. And I don't just want to leave my time on earth in the blue part for myself and for me, but I want to leave with eternity in mind, because I want to leave to be on mission for you. And so, Frontline, can I encourage you, as we come to the end of our last night at camp, that if you want a courageous spirit, if you want to be on mission for heaven, then, like, let me know. God wants to know who's serious. God wants to know who wants to be on mission. And so I'm going to ask you, if that's you, I want you to stand up. If you want to be on mission for Jesus, if you want to get on mission and go out and be his light, and don't stand just because everyone is standing. I want you to stand knowing that there will be a cost that comes. I want you to stand knowing that even though it's easy now, it will be hard. Because it's easy at camp. But I want you to know that you go out with power from on high. And man, I'm excited to see this response. And I want to pray for you guys, and I want to pray for a spirit of courage to come upon each and every single one of you. And so would you lift your hands to heaven, and would you open up your hearts, and would you lift your eyes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Jesus, do you see your people? Jesus, do you see your sons, your brothers and your sisters who say, God, we don't want to live just for ourselves, but God, I want to live for you. Father, right now, would you look upon your people and would you pour out your Spirit afresh upon each and every single one of them? Holy Spirit, would you come and empower young men and young women to live boldly, to live courageously, to live with the truth in their mouths, to live to preach the word in season and out of season? Whether it's hard or easy, God, would you raise up a generation who want to be on mission for heaven, who want to go out and see their friends saved? And God, would you give them the words to say? Would you put words in their hearts even now? Would you start forming and putting together testimony? Would you start working out in them what they're going to say? Would you start preparing them? And Lord, I just pray that you would just deposit treasure in them right now. That, Lord, his hands are outstretched and his hearts are open. Lord, that you would open heaven and that treasure and words and dreams and vision and strength would come upon them, mighty strength, supernatural strength that cannot happen in our human efforts but can only happen because we're connecting and colliding with heaven tonight. Father, would you come upon your people and would you breathe your life? Would you breathe your spirit? Would you help them to have a supernatural faith and a belief that you will go with them everywhere they put their feet, that you will go with them and you will give them the words and you will give them the courage? God, would you look at your people and would you bless them? Would you bless them and would you pour out your spirit? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Guys, just be ready. God is wanting to speak to people. And just receive what God wants to do right now. Holy Spirit, breathe upon your people. Come like the wind. Raise up men and women of faith. Raise up the next generation preachers and evangelists. Raise up the next generation who are going to go out there and see healing happen, Lord God. Raise up the next Forrest Franks and the next Charlie Kirks, Lord God, that are going to go out into places and write music and do things that go all over the world to preach and proclaim the name of Jesus. God, would you let the gifts that you have for your people stir up in them? Would you reveal them to your people and let those gifts come to the surface and show your people the tools that you want to give them, that you want to put in their hands? Oh, God, we worship you. We worship you, Lord. Just start praising God. If you've got a song in your heart, just start singing. If you speak in tongues, speak in tongues. Just start worshiping God, lifting up your voice. We worship you, Jesus. We lift up your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Let me read a passage over you. Just keep waiting on God. It's not finished yet. My hands are sweaty. I can't turn the pages. Okay. This is Jesus. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. When he came to the village of Nazareth, he went to the usual synagogue on the Sabbath and he stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and he found the place where this was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released and that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." God Almighty, I pray right now that the Spirit of you, Lord God, would come upon your people, these men and these women and these young people. Let your Holy Spirit come upon them and anoint them to go out. Let your anointing be upon your people. We cannot do this without you, Lord. So, Father, we just want to worship you. We just want to say, give you thanks and praise. We're going to worship Frontline, but I just believe that there is more that's going to come. And so as we sing and as we lift up the name of Jesus, as we worship him, can you just be ready? Can you be open? Can you be willing for God to move in you? Step out of your comfort zone. Thank you, God. We're ready for you, Jesus. We're ready for you, Holy Spirit.